Well, how you doing? Great to be here with you all. Before we get into tonight's message, I want to give you a quick update on what God is doing on the Windward side. We have three New Hope campuses on the Windward side now. We have one in Kaneohe. It's New Hope Windward. And we meet at the Windward Mall at the Regal Cinemas. We actually rent out all 10 theaters, and we have four services. And we tell people, you know, come worship Jesus, and then you can go shop. You know, my wife loves coming to the Kaneohe campus. Then about a year and a half ago, we planted this.
We're at New Hope WCCC, and we're here to celebrate the dedication of the Extreme Chapel Makeover.
Oh my gosh, it was just unbelievable.
The feeling of gratitude just is so overwhelming.
This is God. God can do this. You know, He's amazing.
It has changed our life. It has changed everything about us, our character, everything.
The ladies of the Women's Community Correctional Center welcome each and everyone to this special night of our chapel blessing.
Hey everyone, this is an exciting night because we are here with the completion of the Extreme Chapel Makeover at New Hope WCCC. Let me take you on a tour and you can see what has been done. So here is the main chapel area, and as you see here, we have nice thick padded chairs, and so these are awesome, nice and thick. Oh, we've got a nice projector mounted with state-of-the-art sound system. We have the soundboard here, which the inmates actually operate themselves, the multimedia tech equipment. Over here we have, let's see what's in here. Oh, you gotta see this. Look, brand new life recovery Bibles. And these are all designed for the ladies to help them in their recovery here in the prison to prepare them as they go out to live in the world. One day we were in here while the makeover was in process. Through a prompting from the Lord, we gathered the inmates who were painting this room, and we said, we want you to write down your favorite promises and scriptures from the Word of God. And they covered the floor here with the Word of God. It was not unusual for you to walk in here and be sweating within the first 5 to 10 minutes. So we have brand new air conditioning in here. What most people don't know is the chaplains actually they're not paid by anybody except donors. And so these chaplains come in here and they serve as volunteers. And so we were able to remake their office, and I want you to take a look at that. It is so nice. Check this out.
Oh, it's wonderful to see a vision and a dream come true. For the Lord and for the women here, it says that God cares about who they are and where they're at.
Father, we give you glory and praise. What an absolute privilege to be a part of your work here in this prison chapel.
What I've seen with the women is that overwhelming feeling of, wow, this is for us? You know, this has never happened before.
It's important for me that you folks understand that it's really, really emotional and touching for them when they know that somebody cares for them that don't know who they are.
I would just like to say
thank you so much.
Because we are a life that has changed.
Shine your light into the dark. Speak your truth into my heart. I want to know who you are. Shine your light into the dark. Speak your truth into my heart. I wanna know who you are.
God's here. The Holy Spirit is here, and He's working in every single one of my sisters who's in this facility. It's just so amazing.
Much aloha. Aloha. You know, I cannot believe, I cannot express more than that, my mahalos. But we have just begun, and we have a long road ahead. Thank you. Mahalo.
Hey, so New Hope, I just want to thank you for being a part of this Extreme Chapel Makeover. This church in this prison, it has just turned 1 year old. Look what God's done in 1 year. Can you imagine what He has in store for us in the future? Thank you, New Hope. Thank you. Thank you. You know, that New Hope WCCC prison service averages up to 50% of the inmates attending the service weekly. And so there's a mini revival happening in the women's prison, and our prayer is that every single woman will come to know Jesus. Amen? Amen? Amen. Well, let's get into tonight's message. If you would, go ahead and pull out your message notes if you haven't already. And if you have your Bibles, open up to Matthew chapter 18. Tonight we're going to talk about how to forgive everyone. Now, let me start by asking a question. Is there anybody in your life that you need to forgive? Is there anybody that you have resentment or anger towards? Reminds me of the story I heard recently of a woman, and she died, and she found herself standing at the pearly gates of heaven. And as she got to heaven, St. Peter greeted her, and he said, "Ma'am, you can't come in unless you spell a word correctly." She said, "I have to spell a word correctly?" He said, "Yes." She said, "Well, what word?" He said, "You choose." So she said, "Love. L-O-V-E. He said, "Welcome to heaven." And she entered in through the pearly gates. Well, as she entered, St. Peter said to her, he said, "I need to go attend to some stuff here in heaven. Would you stand by the gates and kind of go through the same procedure I just did with you here at the gate? So as people arrive to enter heaven, would you just ask them to spell a word correctly?" She said, "Okay." Well, about an hour after she'd been tending the pearly gates of heaven, her ex-husband suddenly appeared. And she says, "What are you doing here?" And he goes, "Wow, I just had a heart attack. Did I make it to heaven?" She said, "Not yet." You know where I'm going. She said, "Before you enter, you got to spell a word correctly." He said, "Really? What word do I have to spell?" And after a long pause, she said, "Czechoslovakia." You guys are mean laughing at that. Well, obviously that story wasn't theologically accurate. But when it comes to today's subject matter of forgiveness, a lot of us are like that woman. You see, instead of giving forgiveness to everyone who has wronged us, we can find it so easy to hold on to a grudge. And when we get wronged, when I get wronged, I find it is easy for me to just, almost like picking up something, pick up and carry around a grudge, resentment, anger, unforgiveness. And so we're going to talk about that tonight. I came across a video recently that I thought illustrated how easy it is for us to pick up a grudge. Take a look at this.
Thank you.
Doesn't that video illustrate how we can carry a grudge with us throughout the day? And folks, this can happen to Christians as well. Christians can carry resentment and grudges for their entire life. And so tonight we're going to talk about how do we forgive everyone? Because a lot of us are like that guy carrying the rock in the video. At some point in our life, we have carried a grudge, a rock of resentment, whatever you want to call it. And we can drag around these damaging emotions that come from resentment throughout our day. And so what our ushers are going to do right now is they're going to hand out some rocks. And I want you to grab a rock. So you're going to get a rock about this size. I want you to grab one rock, hold on to it. Don't put it on the ground, just hold on to it. And then pass the bag down your row. And I'll instruct you with what to do with that rock here in a little bit. Now, while those rocks are being passed out, let me have you think about something. So here's what I want you to think about. Who annoys you? Who irritates you? Maybe it's somebody you work with. Maybe it's a coworker or your supervisor. Maybe it's somebody you serve with in ministry. Oh, not here, Pastor. We're the perfect church. Who makes you angry? Who causes your blood pressure to rise? Maybe it's a relative. Maybe it's your in-laws. Maybe it's your spouse or your kid. Maybe it's somebody you came to church with today. Don't look at them right now. No elbows, you know, none of these. Who frustrates you? I want you to really think about that because it'll help you apply the message today. And I would say this, if you're not thinking of anybody who really irritates you, in fact, let me say this. If you can't think of anybody who irritates you, you're what I call dead. All right? Because all of us get wronged. All of us get sinned against. So maybe nobody comes to mind, but I would encourage you to listen tonight with an open heart. And maybe this week God will bring to mind somebody that you might have a small or even a big grudge against. For some of you, I want you to think about this. Who has hurt or wronged you? You know, the reality is that some of you are sitting here and there's pain in your relational world. And you know it. And that pain may be from a former spouse. It may be from somebody you haven't spoken to in a long time. For some of you may be thinking, you know what, Dave? That pain that I'm experiencing is towards somebody who died a long time ago. Some of you, you may even be feeling pain or resentment towards God. I've met many a people and counseled many people who had a grudge towards God because of something he allowed to happen in their life. So, who are you frustrated with? Who might you have a little bitter root towards? Some of you are going, bro, I don't have a small root. I get one huge bitter root, okay? I know who I'm holding a grudge against. In fact, I remember doing a message on forgiveness, and this lady told me later on, she said, Dave, I will never, ever forgive my sister. I thought, wow, that is a big root that needed to be uprooted. So who do you need to forgive? Again, maybe you can't think of somebody right now, but listen with an open heart, and maybe God will show you somebody this week. In fact, if you can't think of anybody you need to forgive, just do this. Just ask your family, who do I need to forgive? Who do I grumble about the most? Who do I complain about? Who bugs me the most? And that might lead you towards somebody you need to choose to forgive. Now, here's what can happen. So this rock in front of you represents an irritation you have towards somebody, or it represents unforgiveness, it represents bitterness. And here's what can happen. If we don't process what's happened to us correctly and biblically, that wrong that hurt, that offense can morph into bitterness over time. It can morph into resentment. It can morph into a grudge. Isn't that right? And so it's really important that we as believers is that we say, okay, God, I want to handle these offenses that inevitably happen to everybody. I want to handle it your way. So what does God want us to do with the annoying people in our lives? Lick them. No. Sorry. I could just kind of sense what some of you guys are thinking. What does God want us to do with resentment and anger and grudges? What does he want us to do? Well, if you're taking notes, would you write this in your notes? Number one, God wants us to choose to forgive everyone. God wants us to choose to forgive every single person who has ever offended us. Now, let me just clarify what it means to forgive, because there's a lot of misunderstandings on what true biblical forgiveness is. So what does it mean to forgive? By the way, you still holding on to the rock? All right, okay, keep holding on to it. What does it mean to truly forgive? Well, the word for forgive in the Bible, it's actually listed there in your notes. And that word is a Greek word. And what it literally means, it's the word, I can't say this very well, but it goes, afieme, afieme. Why don't you say that? Afieme. Okay, you'll never have to ever say that again. All right. So what does this word mean? It means this. When somebody offends you, you are to take that offense and you are to lay it down. You are to lay it aside. That's what it literally means. Now, here it is. You are to lay it aside and leave it alone. But you know what we like to do? We get offended and we may choose to forgive, and then we run into that person again, or they do something to us that we ask them not to do, and then we do this. And we don't lay it aside. We carry it around with us. I mean, would you agree that it's easier to say we're going to forgive than to actually do it? I mean, it's easier said than done. I mean, it is so much easier to say, oh, yeah, you just need to choose to forgive them. I mean, some things are pretty easy to forgive. If we have a meeting and you show up late, forgiven. If I lend you $10 and you don't pay me back, forgiven. If you mistake me for Brad Pitt, totally forgiven. Totally forgiven. It's okay. Happens all the time. Some things are really easy to forgive. But if you talk stink about me behind my back and I hear about it, oh, that's a little bit harder to lay aside. Isn't that right? It's easier to forgive smaller offenses, but the big, deep, painful offenses can be very hard to forgive. And that's why, folks, we have to choose to forgive. In fact, you know, some of you may be thinking, well, Dave, I don't feel like forgiving. Well, let me say this. You have to choose to forgive, because if you wait till you feel like forgiving, you're going to be waiting a long time, all right? Because the devil will make sure you don't feel like forgiving that person who offended you. So you have to choose to forgive them. Some of you might be thinking, well, Dave, well, how often do I have to choose to forgive? Well, that's a question that was asked over 2,000 years ago by the Apostle Peter. Take a look at the question he posed to Jesus about how many times he was to forgive. Matthew 18:21. Take a look at the question. Then Peter came to Jesus and he asked, Lord, how many times must I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times? Now, let me give you context. When Peter asked Jesus this question, in those days, Jewish law was, if somebody offended you, you had to forgive them up to three times. So picture you being Peter. Jesus, how many times do I have to forgive my brother when he wrongs me? Now, he doesn't say three times. I bet you Peter was thinking, all right, Jewish law is three times. I'm going to double that, add one to it. I'm going to sound good. Jesus, how many times do I have to forgive my brother? Seven times? Look what the Lord's response was back to Peter. Jesus said what? Let's read this out loud together. Verse 22. Jesus answered, not seven times, but 70 times seven. So God said, we are to forgive 70 times seven. Now some of you are doing math. 490. Okay. Now how many times has my husband come home late? 600 at least. I don't have to forgive him anymore. Yes! Now, you need to understand that the number seven in the Bible is a whole number. And what the Lord was saying to us was this. When somebody wrongs you, you are to forgive them over and over and over and over and over. It's unlimited forgiveness. You know, some of you got a cell phone plan, you got unlimited minutes. You need a forgiveness plan with unlimited forgiveness. So you're like, I don't like that plan. Yeah? But that's what the Lord asks us to do. And so, now again, you say, okay, that's in the Bible, but Dave, that's a lot easier said than done. Why should I forgive everyone unlimited, unconditionally? Well, I want to clarify some shoddy thinking on forgiveness, because there's a lot of misunderstandings on what true biblical forgiveness is. So I'm going to pose a quiz to you. I'm going to ask you three questions, and I want you to answer these if they're true or false. So let's take a look at the first question, and let's see what this says. The first question is this. Number one, forgiveness includes minimizing the offense and the pain that was caused. True or false? False. The answer is false. Let me explain. Folks, forgiveness is not minimizing the pain you experienced from the offense. Forgiveness is not saying, oh, it's no big deal that you betrayed me and had an affair on me. Oh, it's no big deal that I lost my job because you lied about me and stole that stuff. That is not true forgiveness. I mean, what if I were to meet Osama bin Laden? You know, he's the terrorist leader who planned the, 9/11 attacks on the Twin Towers in New York City. What if I met Obama and said, hey, Obama, it's no big deal that you masterminded the Twin Tower 9/11 attacks and thousands of innocent people lost their lives? No big deal. I mean, there's no pain there. Folks, if I did that, that would be insanity. So true forgiveness is not saying, hey, it's no big deal what you did to me. All right? Let's look at the second question. True or false? A person should not be forgiven until they say they're sorry. True or false? I know what some of you want to say. True! It's false. Now, whenever you say, well, I'm going to forgive them once they say they're sorry, that is not biblical forgiveness. That is called negotiating. If you say, you know what? Oh, you want me to forgive you? I will forgive you when you stop doing what I've been asking you a bazillion times to stop doing. That is called bargaining. True biblical forgiveness is when you choose to forgive whether they ask you for forgiveness or not. Now, who modeled this for us? Jesus. When Jesus forgave you, when he forgave Dave Barr, he did it unconditionally. It was a free gift. It was something where he said, I am giving you this forgiveness for free. And that's what true biblical forgiveness is. Question number three. Take a look at this one. This one's often misunderstood. Question number three. Forgiveness includes restoring trust and reuniting a relationship. True or false? False. Very good. This is one of the most misunderstood concepts about forgiveness. Folks, forgiveness is not the same as restoring a relationship. Okay? I'm going to say that again. Forgiveness is not the same as restoring a relationship. Some of you may be denying forgiveness towards somebody because you think, if I forgive them, then I'm going to have to become best friends with them again or reunite in relationship with them. No, no. The Bible teaches that restoring a relationship and forgiveness are two different things. Let's say somebody wrongs you over and over and over. So somebody repeatedly wrongs you. The Bible says that you and I are to take that offense and we are to choose to forgive over and over and over. But that does not mean that we trust the person. You see, forgiveness and trust are two different things. Forgiveness is to be instant. I choose to forgive you unconditionally right away, whether you ask for it or not. I'm not going to minimize the pain. I choose to forgive you. But trust is built over time. And if you restore a relationship with somebody who has greatly betrayed trust, that trust is built over time. It is not built instantly. So trust and forgiveness are two different things. So I wanted to explain that because so often people think that, you know, they have to reunite relationships, but no, trust is built over time. And for a relationship to be restored, the offender has to rebuild trust. So, Dave, why should I choose to forgive? Well, let me give you two compelling reasons why we should choose to forgive everybody. If you're taking notes, would you write this in your notes? Carrying grudges harms me physically. And science confirms just how dangerous holding grudges can be. Listen to this. I read this research study performed at Stanford University, and they stated that letting go of a grudge can slash your stress levels by up to 50%. So laying aside unforgiveness can slash your stress levels by 50%. The volunteers in that study who dropped a rock of unforgiveness, listen to this. They showed improvements in energy levels, their moods improved, they had better sleep and overall physical vitality. And as I kept reading, it also said many of the participants who chose to forgive lost over 60 pounds. I'm just kidding. I made that part up. Some of you guys are like, I'm going to forgive now. Done. Never again. Yeah. Oh, no, listen to this. The doctor in charge of the project, he's quoted as saying this, quote, carrying around a load of bitterness and anger at how unfairly you were treated is very, very toxic. Holding grudges harms you physically. And the Bible confirms how grudges can be like poison. Take a look at Hebrews 12:15. Look what this says. It says, be careful that none of you fails to respond to the grace which God gives. For if he does, there can very easily spring up in him a bitter spirit, which is not only bad in itself, but can also poison the lives of many. You know, here's what I found. You can have a team of 20 or 30 people. If one person is really bitter, it can spread like cancer into the whole team. Bitterness is very, very toxic. It not only harms you physically, it can harm an entire team. And so I want to just illustrate this visually because this is huge. Bitterness is a lot like poison. So I have a chemistry flask here that is filled with what represents poison. And sometimes we will hold on to unforgiveness and we think, you know what? They wronged me. Well, I'm going to get them back. So we hold on to that grudge because we think, I'm going to get even. And so we're holding on to it. And this is what science says it does to us. It's like drinking poison. You wronged me? It's like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. You're going to die. I'm going to hold on to this. What? Huh? And then all of a sudden,
I'm melting.
Wizard of Oz, yeah? Folks, unforgiveness always harmed you more than the person who harmed you. Always. And you know, here's what happens is we sit there, we think, if I hold on to this, I'm going to get even. And the other person who wronged us is just kind of skipping through life. Yeah? And we're sitting there thinking, I'm going to get you back by holding this rock, this grudge. It doesn't work. It always backfires. So why should we choose to forgive? Because holding unforgiveness harms us physically. Not only that, but get this. The Bible says if we hold on to unforgiveness, it harms us spiritually too. You may want to write that in your notes. Carrying grudges harms me spiritually. And friends, God has made it super clear that if we hold on to unforgiveness, that God will not forgive us. I want to say that again. This is one of those verses all of you guys want to cut out. You know, I read this one. I just wanted to cut this one out of my Bible. God says this, if you don't forgive others, I won't forgive you. Take a look at this verse in your notes. Look at Matthew 6, 14 through 15. Look what the Bible says. Let's read this one out loud together. Ready, go. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. So this is what's super important. If we hold on to unforgiveness, it actually impacts and impedes our relationship with God. And I want to say this to some of you. Some of you might be saying, you know, Dave, if I'm just gut level honest, I really haven't heard God speak to me much lately. I mean, I just haven't heard those small, still promptings from God. And if that's you, I would encourage you to just say, God, search my heart. Is there any wickedness in me? Is there anybody that I am not forgiving? Now, here's what I found in my own life. Is that, because as a pastor, I really try to make sure that I flush all unforgiveness, that I lay aside any offenses. And, I mean, I've forgiven Elwin so many times. I mean, this, I'm just playing. And, but I really try to guard my heart. But here's what I found. That I have had unforgiveness fly under my radar. Where if you said, Dave, is there anybody you're holding a grudge against? I could tell you, no, honestly, before God, no. And then I get in some situation, and the anger and the bitter root gets triggered. I'm like, ugh. And you know how you can know if you may have a root of unforgiveness? Is just watch your words. Because Jesus said, out of the overflow of your heart, the mouth speaks. In other words, what comes out of your mouth reveals what's going on in your heart. So if you find there's a person you're really, really irritated with, you're complaining or grumbling about them quite a bit, you may want to just go before God and say, God, do I have a rock of unforgiveness towards that person? Because, man, if you don't deal with it, it's going to harm you physically and it's going to harm you spiritually. And you don't want that to happen. So now let's shift gears and let's talk about how do I choose to forgive everyone? Everyone. Now, what I'm about to share with you, I've been doing for years, and these are biblical principles that work. They really work. So if you're taking notes, would you write this in your notes? First thing you need to do when you get wronged is this. You need to let God settle the score. God says, let me handle those who've hurt you. Let me handle those who've wronged you. See, this is encouraging to me. God knows the people who have wronged Dave. God knows the people who've wronged you. He's seen every moment of your life. And he says, let me settle the score. God doesn't want you to retaliate. In fact, you may want to write this down. Retaliation always backfires. Retaliation backfires. So take a look at what God says in Romans 12, 19. It says this, dear friends, never avenge yourselves. You may want to circle that word never. Leave that to who? My cousin. It doesn't say that. Leave that to my big tongue and friend. No. It says leave that to who? God. For it is written, I will take vengeance. I will repay those who deserve it, says the Lord. Amen. That is an awesome verse. Now, some of you might think, well, Dave, if I give up my right to get even, that is unfair. That is totally unfair. And you know what? You're right. It is unfair. See, the Bible doesn't say that forgiveness is fair. In fact, God never said that life would be fair. Jesus said this. Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble. So life is not fair. Forgiveness is not fair. But you got to choose to do it. And you just let God settle the score. Forgiveness doesn't mean you say, okay, it didn't hurt me. No, God, it hurt bad. Or it was really irritating. But I am choosing to forgive, and I will let you settle the score, because God, you have way more resources than I do. I'm going to leave it in your hands. So number one, let God settle the score. Number two, this is real key, don't rehearse and nurse the offense. How many of you have heard of TiVo machines? Any of you got TiVo machines? Okay, TiVo machines are like VCRs. They're like these computer hard drives, and you can record TV and sports shows, and then you can watch them and replay them as many times as you want. And you know what we do with the offenses in our life? We TiVo them. And we can replay the offense in our mind over and over and over again. I had it happen to me today. And I ran into somebody today who had wronged me in the past. I guess God was preparing me for this message. Because, man, I wanted to, in my mind, I was going, that guy's a turkey. And then I'm thinking, oh, wait, you're talking about forgiveness tonight. Okay. And so I just pushed the pause button on, because I started replaying what this person had done to me years ago. And that's what we can do with the hurts. We say, I can't believe they lied to me. I can't believe they stole from me. I can't believe she left me. And we just rehearse and nurse the wound. We rehearse it and we nurse it. And they're out skipping around, gallivanting, and we're in the corner licking our wounds, nursing the offense. And some people get so deep into rehearsing and nursing, it's almost like the offense is a badge of victimization. Did you hear what happened to me? Oh my gosh, have a seat. Sister, oh, so much drama with this man I'm dating. Oh, I know, you told me about this the last 28 times we sat down together. And we just go over and over and over the offense. So don't TiVo your hurts, because every time you replay a time somebody wronged you, listen, it prolongs the pain. And it allows that person to have control over you. Do you want that person to have control over you? Then hit pause on that TiVo machine. Don't rehearse it and nurse it, because it won't get you where you want to go. So resentment, here's what I find. Resentment keeps Dave Barr in the past. And it's like I'm driving through life looking in the rearview mirror, not the front windshield. And I'm just looking, well, see what they did to me. And if you keep looking in the rear view mirror while you drive, what's going to happen? You're going to crash. And so I love the Apostle Paul's advice about focusing forward, not behind. Take a look at Philippians 3:13. Let's read this one out loud together with full voice. Ready? Go. I am focusing all my energies on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. So you have two options when you get wronged. You can rehearse it, or you can release it to God. Releasing it is the biblical choice. Let me give you one more step. So, let God settle the score. Don't rehearse and nurse the offense. And number three, here it is, return good for evil. Pastor, can we skip this point too? Look what the Bible says in Luke 6:27 through 28. Let's read this out loud together. Ready, go. Do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who mistreat you. Yeah, that's a great one. Hey, I want to do good to those who hate me. Yeah, I want to pray for them too.
I'll tell you, I want to pray for them. And I want to, you know, I want to bless them too. I really feel like doing that. How many of you feel like doing this one, all right? All right, thank you for not raising your hand. Circle those words, do good, bless, and pray for. Sometimes people ask me, Dave, how do I know if I've really let go of an offense? How do I know if I've dropped the rock? Here's how you know. You can do good to those who hurt you or hate you. You can pray that God will bless them. And you can give them $100. No, I'm just kidding. Sorry. No, you do good, you bless, and you pray for. There's a person who really, really, really wronged me years and years ago. Every time I think of them, almost every time I pray a prayer of blessing for them. And here's what I find. When I do that, I'm not saying, wow, look at me, I'm so great. I'm saying that because when I say, God, please bless them, you know what it does? It takes this stranglehold grip that I can have on unforgiveness, and it pries my fingers off when I pray for them, when I do good for them, and when I bless them. And it makes it much easier to drop the rock. So these things work, and they help. Now, obviously when we hear a message like this, we all need to just be up front. The only way to do these things is with the power of Jesus Christ. I mean, can we all agree to that? We need Christ's power to do this. If you try to forgive everyone on your own strength, good luck. You need Jesus Christ because he's the one that will give you the power to let him settle the score. He's the one that will give you the power to press pause on the rehearsing and nursing the hurts. He's the one that will give you the power to return good for evil. And I want you to hear the story of a guy who had an enormous offense that happened to his life. Deep, deep, deep. And I want you to see how Jesus and how the church was used to help this guy lay down a rock. I'd like you to hear the story of Miguel Cardona. Watch this.
My name is Miguel Cardona. I'm originally from Brooklyn, New York. Raised by a single mom. My dad left when I was 3 years old. So there was four of us, and things wasn't easy. Yeah, my mom being a single mom, she was just trying to figure out how to survive. You know, and having four kids to feed, it wasn't easy for her. Abuse came into the picture, you know. She got into voodoo and witchcraft, and it was a pattern of rage. And it was very difficult to try to understand as a young child. I just turned 13, and I was at a Pentecostal church, and I gave myself to the Lord. And that was one of the happiest times in my life. And I say I must have been a Christian for 4 to 6 months. And then we had a traveling evangelist come, and he was from Italy. And he didn't have the money for a hotel. So my mom offered, you know, her home, you know, and he preached one Sunday, and then he came home with us, and it must have been, I'm going to bed already, so he comes into my room, and he just starts talking, and he says, I want to read the Bible to you. I said, okay. At the same time he's reading the Bible, his hand is going underneath the blanket. And I just froze. And I never told no one. I tried to bring it up to my mom, and I didn't know how to explain. I'm 13 years old. How do you explain that to your mom? I was very angry. I was really angry. My view of God was like, God, what's going on? What are you doing? I got into everything really fast. I got into drugs real fast. Heavy on drugs, on pills, chemicals. Drinking. I forgot about God. I really wanted to. I met my wife in 1988. And we really hit it off. I mean, she's a wonderful woman. You know. The first thing she told me is like, you know, I want to go to church. I want to do things right in this relationship. When she said that, I said, I guess you're not the one for me. Because if you only knew my background about church. One day I received a call from her. She just started talking to me. And she asked me, she says, can I ask you a question? She said, yeah, go ahead. She says, have you ever been molested before? And I knew God was talking to me. I knew for the first time in a long time that he knew what I was going through. We drive by and we see Castle High School. And we see a sign up. And my wife says, I want to go check out that church. We go in there and in the auditorium and I just sit there, you know. I just sit there and right away God starts tugging at my heart. And my wife tells me, this is where I want to come. I said, if you want to come, that's fine. I'll go with you. And I figured, okay, I could go to church and I could sit there, but I was damaged goods. Just from sitting there and just hearing the messages and just taking in the message, and then Pastor Dave was preaching and he says, you know, he made a volunteer call for Children's Church. Yeah, and it tugged on my heart, and my wife said, babe, I think we need to go. When he tugged on my heart to serve, it's like he was telling me, fly, Miguel. You can fly again. You could go again. So I said, it was evidence that he was restoring me. During the process of serving, it made me strong. Yeah. I knew the problem wasn't gonna be solved right away, but at least I had the strength to fight. I believe that's one of the gifts that serving does for you. Gives you the courage to fight because you're going to do something that you don't think you could do. When I got connected with small groups and got connected in fellowship, I became alive again. Yeah, because now I was connecting with people. I joined the Levites, you know, the bunch of great guys there, part of the prayer ministry. And just getting together with the people at New Hope, they do give you hope.
Gonna lay it down. this world like I'm barely living, buried in this doubt of this hole I've been digging, but you're pulling me out. I'm finally breathing in the open air. This room may be dark, but I'm finally seeing there's a new ray of hope. And now I'm believing that the past is the past and the future's beginning to look brighter now. Whoa. But all of my hopes and my dreams and my best laid plans, safe and secure when I place them in your.
It's your turn. I want you to take that rock that you've been holding on to. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to squeeze it as hard as you can until I tell you to stop squeezing it. Just squeeze it right now, as hard as you can. Keep squeezing it. Just keep squeezing it. See how that feels, that tension, that stress? Keep squeezing as hard as you can. Does that feel good? Not really. This is what it's like holding on to a grudge. Now slowly let your hands loose. You feel that? Feel the tension leave? That's kind of what it's like when you let go of forgiveness. See, if you hold on to this and carry it around through life, it's going to harm you physically. It's going to harm you spiritually. But if you say, God, I don't want to carry grudges anymore, I'm going to choose to forgive everyone. I'm going to let you settle the score. And if I catch myself rehearsing and nursing the hurt, I'm just going to ask you to help me to push pause on that memory in my mind. And Jesus, with your help, I'm going to do good to those who have wronged me. Give me the power to do so. When you do that, you can then lay it down. So here's what I want you to do. When we end the service, we're still going to sing a closing psalm, but when we end the service, we have these special silver trash cans at all of the exits. And what I want you to do is I want you to take that rock, and symbolically, when you put it back in the trash can, it's your time to lay down a grudge, to lay down a prolonged irritation, to lay down an offense, to lay down resentment or bitterness. And may the sound of it hitting the trash can and the symbol of just letting it go may be a reminder that every time you are wronged, you need to choose to lay it down. For some of you tonight, you may be thinking, you know what, Dave? There's somebody I need to ask to forgive me. And if that's you, I would encourage you to do some sweaty palms business with them. And just go to them with the power of Christ and say, would you please forgive me? And don't defend yourself. Maybe you could, for some of you, that won't be a safe thing to do. You need to write a letter. Do what's appropriate. But some of you, I can imagine, you need to seek forgiveness with somebody. So I'm going to say a quick prayer. And then I want to, when you guys leave here, please take the rocks and put them in the trash can. Now, let me say this. Some of you might be saying, oh, I don't got anybody I need to forgive. Please put the rock in the trash can, too, because the next service needs it, all right? I know some of you guys think, hey, I don't need to put no rock in there. Don't leave it at your seat, okay? Just put it in the trash can your way out. So why don't you bow your heads with me? Let me pray for you. Father, thank you for the fact that you have forgiven us and modeled for us how to choose to forgive everyone. And Lord, we ask that you give us the strength to pry our fingers off of the grudges, the bitterness, the rocks of resentment that we can so easily pick up and carry through life. Lord, we know that carrying unforgiveness, it harms us spiritually, it harms us physically. So with your power, Jesus, we choose to let you settle the score. And Lord, those times we start to rehearse and nurse the hurts, help us to just bring our thoughts captive to you and hit the pause on that memory, that offense. And Lord, give us your mighty strength to do good to those who have wronged us. We pray this in your matchless and priceless name, Jesus. We all said together as a church, amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you.
Here's the family of Pastor Dave. Would you go ahead and do that? I get my rock, man. I tell you, he said, if you got a grudge against somebody, I get Pastor Wayne's name all over this thing. But and this is too heavy. Hey, Ruben, can you come out and get my grudge from me, please? Thank you. I'm going to dump it on my brother's shoulder. Here you go. Thank you. What a great message. Let's give a hand to Pastor Dave again for a wonderful message of forgiveness. Let's all stand together as we conclude. Yeah, please, when you leave the auditorium, go ahead and put that rock in the can. Sometimes it's symbolic, but a lot of times when we actually go through that motion of releasing that rock, it releases the grudge. It gives forgiveness to those who need forgiveness. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you again for our wonderful message and a reminder on how we cannot hold on to unforgiveness, that we need to forgive. And Lord, as we release our rock and our grudge, we are just reminded on how much you forgave us. So help us, Lord, now to leave again changed and transformed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Seal that lesson to your heart with a clap.
Love on someone as you go.